All right, Patrick Roycey. You can find Roycey Unchained yesterday on the Mackie and Judd or Roycey Unchained podcast feeds. Full breakdown of Black Monday.
Today, guys. Water. I'm drinking water this morning.
You're hydrating?
Yes, I'm drinking water.
Are you being sponsored by Fiji Water now?
Well, I'm a strictly a Fiji guy because I like the form of the bottle.
Me too.
It doesn't crunch when you grab it. It doesn't squeeze. You know.
Totally agree. I don't know why. I don't know why. Apparently, they have a monopoly on the four sided bottle.
Yes, that's what. Genius. I don't know. I think the stuff inside it doesn't really make much difference, but I like the bottle.
Yeah.
So what the hell? That's good enough.
So, all right. So what next for the Vikings, Pat?
Well, I think we are guaranteed to now have a 38-year-old positive spinner after Eric Kendricks and Brian O'Neill, who might be their two best players, come out and say Zim was too mean. So when you have Eric Kendricks, team leader, best player on the team, saying you can't coach by fear, that eliminates anybody over 42 who might still be a little bit of an old school coach who yells at people.
So
right?
If you're over the age of 42, you might be too scary for this Vikings
yes,
team.
Bieniemy, I don't know what kind of guy he is, but he strikes me as a guy who might scream at somebody on the sideline once in a while. And it appears to me that they're definitely moving to the younger positive generation, and that's I have no problem with that. But that's where we're going. As I said, Zim's quotes the last 2 weeks, the one about Jefferson, and then the record, and then the one about why didn't we see Kellerman. Those are the last two great quotes we're going to get from a Viking coach in the next 5 years, at least. You're not going to get anything that could be interpreted as being negative toward anybody. I don't think. I think that ship has sailed. And I got to admit, I was shocked they blew out Spielman completely. Who knows what the
so was he.
What the reason was, if they offered him such a figurehead position he didn't want it, or if they just said, if we keep Spielman around, here's my theory, they said, if we keep Spielman around, all we're going to do is get abuse. We're doing this to get the public to stop ripping us, right? You're doing this. This is why you're firing these guys. If you keep Spielman, they're still going to be ripping us. So they have a new they've gone all in on giving a new image to themselves.
What's weird, Pat, is that when Spielman walked into the office yesterday, he fully expected he was staying and that they would say, Rick, Mike's out, we're going to start. And they had gone so far as to talk to him about what his new title was going to be. So you're right. Something took place where they, at the very last second, said, we can't. And I'm curious if Rick did something, if they just came to the conclusion that you're talking about, which is very possible. But that is the biggest surprise of the day, was that Rick was fired.
This is Bill Guerin being asked who he wants to get rid of, Suter or Parisi, and thinking about it and saying both of them. That's what this is. It's kind of a front office version of that. Okay, we're going to get rid of both of them. And I think that it's just that if Spielman's still around, then the public still has the same view of the organization as they had before you fired Zim. Now we have a whole new view of the organization, depending on who they hire. As I said yesterday with Judd, with you on the podcast, we always, except for Chile and the lousy first press conference he had, along with our first real look at Ziggy being a complete knothead, we always are on board with whoever the Vikings hire. Basically, going back to Norm Van Brocklin, I can tell you, and we'll be on board with whoever they hire, I think, don't you?
Yeah, There's
will be optimistic.
Well, I will say that there's a name that we're going to speculate on later on Mackie and Judd today that I think will very much split the room. I'll throw it out to you just to get your thoughts here. But Dan Lebatard's producer, executive producer, Mike Ryan, who's very plugged into college football scene and stuff, he says he's hearing that Lane Kiffin is probably going to be the next Vikings head coach.
Let's go. I don't buy it.
It would be a blast, by the way.
I don't buy it, but my theory that we'll never, ever get another good quote from a Viking coach goes out the window.
Yes, it does.
This would be Tice 2. This would be Tice 2, only with a longer track record. I would take him in a heartbeat, but I don't see it happening. But you know what? Lane's been at Ole Miss for 2 years now, right? It's time to get moving, ain't it?
That's exactly right.
Around there. But that would not work. That would not work in pro football, do you think?
That worked pretty well 13 years ago in Oakland with Jamarcus Russell, and I think Al Davis was still around, too.
Yep. Al Davis,
fired him.
Al Davis fired him, but I think Mike Ryan is way off base on that.
There's another guy from Pro Football Focus, PFF Brad, is also hearing steam. Lane Kiffin to the Vikings. PFF Brad.
That would be too good to be true, but I cannot believe it. I cannot believe it, because I think that goes exactly opposite of what I was just talking about.
Yeah.
The whole, you know, it wouldn't be fear, but it would be chaos.
Oh, it'd be glorious from our end, though.
Oh,
can you imagine how fun Lane would be before he got blown out about five games in?
I said, not that I'm out there often at all, but I said what I really want as a new coach is somebody who will walk around the building and go to the interview room instead of making everybody haul their rear ends up the steps and all the way around outside to do it on the outside. That's what I want. I want a guy who's going to use the interview room that they built.
Yep.
And then Zim went once, right? Said, I ain't doing that.
Lane might go Ticey, though. He might come into the media room with a beer, sit down, and start regaling you with background.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
So, I mean, come on. That's what Ticey did. What do you guys do?
Ticey, all-timer. I said this 10 times, but we're in the racquetball court there. That's the restroom. He gets the letter from the NFL saying, you're right, they screwed up 8 calls in Green Bay. Mm-hmm. And he comes in, bursts into the room about 2 in the afternoon after he's done his press conference and said,
hey,
look at this BS, blah, blah, blah. And then the next day, Billy Williamson and Seifert's story say, Mike Tice refused comments. I think
it's a letter. They screwed us.
Yeah, they screwed us.
You know, we can say the Wilfs have definitely learned over the last 15 or 16 years. They've learned how to fire someone with a little bit more dignity. Like they take over the organization and, you know, 5 months later, they fire Mike Tice by handing out an already pre-written press release in the post-game locker room.
After he finished 9-7 with Brad Johnson as his quarterback. Just because was that the year of the Love Boat, or was the Love Boat before?
That was the Love Boat year, 2005.
That was also the ticket scandal year. But they were so new at it, they couldn't wait. They were like little kids. They were so excited they had a chance to fire somebody. They couldn't wait. They did it like 25 minutes. I was, you know, people were out tailgating in the back, as I used to go into the Star Tribune and write when they had a noon home game. And I was walking out the back and telling people at the tailgates, you know, an hour after the game, Tice got fired. He said, what? You know, because they were waiting for him to come out and drink with him. You know?
I mean, didn't his kid Nate was
a ball
like
boy.
A ball boy or something? And
they
didn't
handed him the press release. Lester handed him the press release, and Nate like turned ashen white.
Yes.
And he's like, yeah, you're dead.
See, your dad's been fired.
This is a great era, though, to be firing people, because you can say it's on Zoom, right? And you don't have to really get grilled. You can take one question, no follow-ups, really, and you can. But there's they needed no excuses for this. I mean, they were being the good guys by firing these two guys, right?
Yeah. Yes.
So they and you know, the Spielman thing is interesting, but I'm, you know, that's and you know what else I liked him saying? We're going to hire a GM, and then we're going to hire a coach. We're not in any panic, which I thought for sure they'd be wanting to get their guy, you know. But there's only what they looking for four? Are there four?
What, four? What,
four openings? Four openings.
There's like six now. Yeah. I think there's six. Yeah. Well, there's like three or four GM openings, and there's like six coaches.
I was shocked the guy in Miami got fired.
Yeah, Brian Flores.
They had a terrible team, and they end up 8-8. He must not love Tua enough. They said it was a communication problem.
Quarterback.
No, maybe. I don't. Yeah. But anyway.
Do you find kind of amazing? It's been this franchise, and I am glad that the Wilfs acknowledged that an 8-win season might as well be a 4-win season. What's the difference when it's been 60 years and you've never won a Super Bowl? But they haven't been to a Super Bowl in like 45 years.
Yeah.
At the same time, so that puts him in the same bin as like the Lions and all these, like the Jets and all these garbage franchises. But at the same time, over those 45 years, they've only really had like four really bad seasons.
Yeah.
Right.
They managed to, be with on either side of 500 by two games, right? Most
in almost all of the, yeah. Or yeah, 11,
they,
12, 13.
They don't bottom out, which I don't know if that's good or bad, but they rarely bottom out. And, you know, I think, you know, it has a lot to do with that. The Detroit Lions.
Yeah.
You know, being in your division.
They don't allow you?
No, I mean, it's very difficult to be the worst team in your division, right?
Otherwise, you probably would have been 4 or 5-win team, but you got to play the Lions twice, and so you stuck to 7, right?
Yeah. It was an impressive loss. Yeah.
They did lose this year.
They did.
Yeah, I mean, come on. You got it.
Brutal loss.
Give them credit.
But it's, you know, the Wilfs. It is funny, the poll ads are the cheap poll ads, and they don't know how to run a franchise, and we like the Wolves, and not much difference, really, in the success ratio, right?
No, I mean,
it's easy to spend your cap when you're making $200 million a year.
That's the misperception. The perception is that, well, the Wolves will spend anything. It's like,
spends to the cap.
Yes.
The bad with the Twins is a lot worse, and that creates a perception in this town.
Yeah, I agree with that. And the Twins haven't won a playoff game since 2004. Mm-hmm. 18 tries.
It's just 18.
But
it's amazing.
The Twins, since 41 don't it, the Vikings have won 4 playoff games. The Twins have won 6.
Hang the banner.
Hang it.
How many times they beat the Yankees? Twice. You know, they beat them twice in that
That's
time.
Right.
They just have a little bad streak right here now.
Just a small pocket of bad luck.
It is pretty phenomenal, our lack of postseason success around here, isn't it?
Yes. Wild.
The last playoff run, the Timberwolves. You got to say the two NFC title games.
Yeah.
Their playoff run. Although a playoff run in the NFL is winning one game, and then you're in another.
That's the thing, especially if you get a bye in the first round.
Yeah.
Okay, so you win a game.
You won one game, you had a playoff run.
I think we should redefine an NFL playoff run as you win at least 2 playoff games.
Yes. You know what a playoff run was? 87.
Yeah.
When they were a wild card team, and they beat the hell out of New Orleans, which was in its first playoffs and was thought it was great. And then they beat the hell out of San Francisco and got Joe Montana booed off the field. And then they lost at the last minute to Washington. That was a playoff run.
Yeah.
The last 21 years have been brutal. It comes down to since 2000, it's been brutal here. Mm-hmm. Like we've gotten very, very, like you've had some good teams and successes in regular seasons. Playoffs though, rip your heart out or just stink.
Mm-hmm. The Wild definitely owes their people something. I mean, the Timberwolves obviously do, but the Wild owes their team, their loyal audience something. Because, I mean, one, they got to the third round once, right? And that was 03, that was 03, and that was a miracle. Because that team that team should have had 72 points. You know, it was the Jacques being the maestro. But anyhow, how about those Georgia Bulldogs?
The go dogs, go dogs.
They beat the refs for about 3.5 quarters too, man.
Yeah, it was pretty brutal.
Saban got every call, but I could not figure out why they were favored. But they were 2.5-point favorites, right?
I think if I remember right, didn't they, with like 5 common opponents, didn't Georgia's margin of victory over those common opponents was like 100 points wider?
But everybody would just go back to the SEC title game when Alabama kicked their ass. But the guys, the smart guys in Vegas and places, Georgia's better than they are. And then you see the quarterback, who's a phony Heisman Trophy winner, by the way. He should not have won the Heisman Trophy. But nobody knew who to vote for, so they ended up voting for him almost unanimously against a 5'10" walk-on. And so that's what shocked me, that Georgia could still be the favorite. But the once again, we saw what I saw was I think is the biggest change in big time football. Wide receivers making unbelievable catches. Mm-hmm. That catch in the end zone, everybody took that to won the game, basically. Everybody took that as, oh, what a nice catch. It was an amazing catch. Yeah. You go back 20 years, it's not made. The catches they make now on throws that are just in the general vicinity are unbelievable. And Georgia had a couple of those last night that won the game for them.
I feel like there was a time like 10, 15 years ago where the thought was, yeah, you could just kind of draft a receiver wherever, and Tom Brady and Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers will turn Javon Walker into a stud. Now it's like there's 3 Justin Jeffersons in every draft, it seems like.
Joe Burrow, I love him. He's great. But he had Chase and Jefferson.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
unbelievable. He had the two best young receivers to come into the league in 8 years. You know? He had both of them. Way to go. That was pretty good.
Best part of the loss, too, is contrite losing Saban is great fun.
Oh yeah.
Like he gets very, like, he tried to compliment his players at the podium before they left. And I love it. Him being humbled at all is fantastic to
and
watch.
He hates losing to Kirby. Smart. Kirby rubs his, what were his quotes? We burn their boat. We're going to burn their boats. They won't be able to get home. Then he had some other quote that was like old school. You know, I don't think Kirby is afraid of coaching by fear. Let me say that way. I got a hunch when you screw up, did you see him on the quarterback when it?
Yeah.
He reams him out. But the fact that Georgia was going to win that game did not seem very probable after the stupid play by the quarterback when he throws the fumble out of bounds, basically, and gives him the ball at the 15-yard line.
He also he also had a ball slip out of his hand that just bounced back into his chest in the first quarter.
But what was that? Not an incomplete pass. The second one that you're talking about, Pat.
The ball was bobbling as it went forward in his hand, but I never knew that you had to have a firm grip on the ball.
I didn't either.
It was like. Yeah, it was popping loose. So they're saying because it was popping loose, now it's loose. And
because Saban wants it to be a fumble, so
that too, exactly. Yeah.
Told us it's a fumble.
Saban will be really mad at us if we don't call it a fumble.
So, we talked to Saban; it's a fumble. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's ridiculous.
All right.
Yeah,
well,
I got I tweeted out that the Bulldogs are going to be such heroes that in Georgia they might even let them vote. And that stirred up the troops, man.
Amazing.
I looked at it; it had like 1,500, whatever they are. So I don't know what it was. The one over on the right, I don't know. Is that
those are likes? Likes. Well, yeah.
Some were hates. I can tell you from a couple of comments. There's some hates in there too. So. Everything is political. We might as well join the fun, right?
No, agreed. I think politicize everything. Let's get it.
Why not?
All right. So we'll see you at the Lane Kiffin introductory press conference.
Congratulations to the Wilfs. Hey, you know the one thing that hasn't been mentioned, though, as we're looking for general manager candidates, how about Cheryl Reeve?
To run the Vikes?
Right. Sure, why not?
Let's set a culture.
If we want her to run everything else, why don't we hire Cheryl Reeve?
Let's set a culture.
That's right. Let's set the links. They got the great
culture. I can
culture.
See the column saw, now. Not coming from you.
I did see it. Was it one? I think Dex, one of you guys sent this over this morning that Pete Najarian was on WCCO radio this morning campaigning for the Vikings GM job. I love Pete.
Really? He campaigned for the AD job and didn't win that one.
Pete's very interested in the Vikings GM job.
I love Pete, man. Can you imagine?
I love Pete too, but I wouldn't bet on that one. I would not bet on that one.
Yep.
All right, Joe.
Stick to stocks, Pete. All right.
See you.
We'll see you, Pat. All right. That's our wrapping with Ricey here on Mackie and Judd and the Score North YouTube channel.